In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You remember that TV show, Name That Tune? Well, the fun Bible version of that game might be Name That Parable, where the host starts reading the parable and the contestant jumps in with the title when he realizes which parable it is. The winner gets a fig tree with no fruit on it, remembering last week's parable. But in fact, Jesus didn't name his parables. He never told his disciples, this next one is called the parable of the talents. The parables' names were informally applied to them by Christians in the centuries that followed Jesus. Now we all know today's lesson as the parable of the prodigal son. So if you're playing Name That Parable, the moment you hear the words, a man had two sons, you're going to yell out, prodigal son! In order to lay claim to that fruitless fig tree. But who among us ever uses the word prodigal in our daily life? Who even knows what it means? Well, for the record, it means wastefully extravagant. But since the Bible doesn't name this parable, we're free to do so. Some have termed today's parable the parable of the lost sons, to suggest the older brother also needs redemption. Others have called it the parable of the waiting father, to focus the story on the father's hope that his lost son will come back to him. And one Bible scholar has coined the title, the lament of the responsible older child, a tongue-in-cheek title that shows the sympathy that many of us have with the older brother who does everything right, but never gets a party for it. There can be so many titles to this parable because there can be so many ways to enter the story. I could easily imagine a film of three vignettes, which each tell of today's gospel story from a different point of view, that of the younger brother, the older brother, and the father. Not only are the three characters so vivid, but the emotions of this story of just over 20 verses are so universal. Regret, anger, joy, compassion. Just prior to this parable in chapter 15 of Luke's gospel, Jesus gives us two other parables, the parable of the lost coin and the parable of the lost sheep, both of which focus on repentance. Today's parable centers on repentance too, although here, Jesus, unlike in his other two parables, never uses the word repentance. And why is that? After all, the younger brother clearly repents of his actions. In fact, he tells his father that he no longer deserves to be called his son. So profound is his sin. In a sense, the whole story turns on the repentance of the younger brother. That's what ends the first act, so to speak, and begins the second. Perhaps Jesus never mentions repentance in this parable simply because the story makes it so abundantly clear. But it may also be possible that while repentance is at the center of this parable, Jesus wants here to focus on compassion. Perhaps it's his way of telling us that God wants us to repent. Jesus wants us to return to him because he wants to embrace us and welcome us home and rejoice that we are where we are meant to be, which is to say, with him. When the father in this story has compassion on his younger son and gives him the best robe and sandals and a ring for his finger and throws a big party and invites the son's friends, we know that they have begun to celebrate, because this son who was lost has been found. And Jesus could have ended the parable right then and there, and it would have been an excellent parable, probably in the top five of all his parables. Just like my high school teacher, a high school English teacher, told us that Shakespeare would have been one of history's greatest playwrights, even if Hamlet had been the only thing he'd ever written. But of course, it's only half the story. Midway through today's parable, we meet the person I think is probably the most interesting character in the parable, the older brother. As an older brother, you might expect me to say that. When the older brother hears the party in progress and asks someone what's going on, and learns that his brother has come home, and that his father is throwing a party in his honor, the loyal older son is indignant. At that point, his father tells his oldest son that none of this rejoicing diminishes for a second the love that he has for him, for the son who has never left his side. In fact, the father makes clear to the older brother that his half of the inheritance still belongs to him. He doesn't say to him, "Now that Jimmy is back, I'm going to give him half of everything again. He's going to get half of your half." If the father had said that, we might have even more sympathy for the older brother, but he doesn't. Casting our minds back to the Old Testament, the older brother reminds us of Jonah, who was sent by God to the city of Nineveh to tell them to repent of their sins. And when they do, and God forgives them and doesn't destroy the city, Jonah is livid and says that he wants to die. Forgiveness and compassion sometimes feel deeply unjust. And most of us can't stand injustice, and most of the time we shouldn't. But Jesus is telling us that justice for an offender should melt away in the face of mercy, love, and compassion for one seeking forgiveness, for one who has returned. And when you don't reach out in love, you punish yourself as much as the confessed sinner. After all, what did it profit the older brother that he refused to rejoice with the rest of his family that his brother had returned? What would it have cost him to open his arms? What is it costing us in our lives when we keep our arms closed to those we could be embracing? When my wife and I finish watching a movie, she often says as the credits are rolling, "But I want to know how it ends." She wants another chapter of the story. I'd like to see another chapter of this story. I'd like to see another chapter in this parable, and I'd like to see it be that after the father tells his older son, "This brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found," that the older brother lets down his defenses, opens his heart, embraces his father, and goes in and joins the party, and welcomes his brother home, and rejoices. Amen.